Mahatattvati kurvana.
Mahatattvati kurvana.
Aham tattvam vyajayata. Karya karana kartatma. Bhutendriya manomayaha. Vaikarikasthai jasascha. Amasaschetyaham tridha. Mahatattva, or the great causal truth, transforms into the false ego, which is manifested in three phases: cause, effect, and the doer. All such activities are on the mental plane and are based on the material elements, gross senses, and mental speculation. The false ego is represented in three different modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The pure living entity in his original spiritual existence is fully conscious of his constitutional position as an eternal servitor of the Lord. All souls who are situated in such pure consciousness are liberated, and therefore they eternally live in bliss and knowledge in the various Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky. When the material creation is manifested, it is not meant for them. The eternally liberated souls are called Nitya Muktas, and they have nothing to do with the material creation. The material creation is meant for rebellious souls who are not prepared to accept subordination under the Supreme Lord. This spirit of false lordship is called false ego. It is manifested in the three modes of material nature, and it exists in mental speculation only. Those who are in the mode of goodness think that each and every person is God, and thus they laugh at the pure devotees who try to engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Those who are puffed up by the mode of passion try to lord it over material nature in various ways. Some of them engage in altruistic activities, and if they were the agents appointed to do good to others by their mental speculative plans, such men accept the standard ways of mundane altruism, but their plans are made on the basis of false ego. This false ego extends to the limit of becoming one with the Lord. The last class of egoistic conditioned souls, those who are in the mode of ignorance, are misguided by identification with the gross body with the self. Thus, all the activities are centered around the body only. All these persons are given the chance to play with false egoistic ideas. But at the same time, the Lord is kind enough to give them a chance to take help from scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, so that they may understand the science of Krishna and thus make their lives successful. The entire material creation, therefore, is meant for the falsely egoistic living entities hovering on the mental plane under different illusions in the modes of material nature. Great causal truth transforms into false ego, which is manifested in three phases: cause, effect, and the doer. All such activities are on the mental plane and are based on the material elements, gross senses, and mental speculation. False ego is represented in three different modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. How material consciousness is generated and facilitated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is herein explained in a most scientific way. The Mahatattva, or the great causal truth, is the sum total of all material elements. And in the beginning of the creation, it is this Mahatattva alone that exists. It has manifested, as explained here, as a plenary expansion of the Personality of Godhead. Now, in order to understand how to really solve a problem, it is quite necessary to understand what is that problem. What is the cause of that problem? How that problem originated? Because we want to go to the root of the problem. Sometimes in disease, there is a particular type of doctor who simply sees the symptom and tries to relieve the miseries caused by that symptom, but they do not bother to try to understand what is the cause, where it is coming from. So this is a superficial way of trying to deal with the situation. However, what are they doing? If we want to really go to the cure of a disease, we must understand what is its root cause, what is its origin, and we must deal with it on the level of its very origin. Similarly, in gardening, when a weed comes, weeds are a very ugly thing which ruins the beauty of a particular garden. And we can cut it at the ground level. And everyone will think, oh, so nice, there are no weeds in this garden. But actually, the more you cut it, the deeper and the stronger the root becomes. And therefore, actually, just by cutting it, you're giving more strength and power to that weed, who will come up more ferociously with much greater strength than ever before. So rather than just trying to suppress the symptoms of our problems, we have to go right to the root of that weed and we have to pull it out. But if a foolish person does not understand that a weed has a root, he will just go on giving more and more power and strength to the weed by just cutting it and cutting it and cutting it and cutting it, until ultimately the whole garden is overcome by weeds. So material consciousness is the cause of all material suffering. And what is the basic root of all material consciousness? What is the origin? At the very beginning of the creation of the cosmic manifestation, where did this conception that is the cause of all suffering begin? We can speculate in so many ways. And the archaeologists and the various scientists can create their theories of what is the origin of human existence, what is the origin of the planets, what is the origin of the universe. But Srimad Bhagavatam explains what actually is the origin. The origin is the false ego. It is the original material elements that has been created by God within the Mahatattva. And what does false ego mean? Here it is explained in a wonderful way that the false ego comes in contact with the three modes of material nature. And it takes on different appearances of consciousness. But it is that false ego that is the root cause of all bondage. The false ego is when we forget our true identity. Krishna says in Gita, Mamai vamso jiva loke jiva bhuta shanat manashashtan indriyani, that we are all eternally fragmental parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. We are all the eternal servants of the Supreme Lord. Sanatan Dharma means to understand our eternal occupational duty, to understand what it is about our own selves that can never be separated from our existence. As sugar is by nature sweet, as salt is by nature salty, as water is by nature liquid, similarly, the soul, by its own constitutional nature as the part of Krishna, is the eternal servant of Krishna. It is only meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. It is only meant for the purpose of harmonizing with Krishna's desire. But the false ego begins when we want to be the enjoyer, when we want to be God. The definition of God is the supreme enjoyer. If we claim to be the enjoyer, if we pursue enjoyment, then we are pursuing the position that is only meant and rightfully claimed by God. And here in this material world, we find everyone is trying to be the enjoyer. Everyone is trying to be the lord of what they survey, from the most insignificant plants and insects up to the great demigods. Everyone wants to be adored, but all adoration is meant for Krishna. Everyone wants others to serve them, but all service is meant for Krishna. Everyone wants to utilize their mind and senses for material pleasure, but everyone's mind and senses are meant only for Krishna's pleasure. So this false ego, that I want to be the Lord, is the root cause of all material suffering and bondage. And this propensity to want to be God manifests in different varieties according to how it is influenced by the modes of goodness, passion, or ignorance. This is described so nicely here by Maitreya Muni. Srila Prabhupada explains in purport that even those who are considered to be very great liberated transcendentalists, who have achieved liberation from the bondage of the misconception that I am this gross material body, those who have entered into a state of consciousness which is so great and so deep and so broad that they actually believe that they have merged their consciousness into the universal, unlimited, all-pervading consciousness. They are no longer bound by the petty shackles of lust and anger and pride and greed. They consider themselves to have achieved oneness with the Supreme. Now, for the impersonalist class of philosophers, this is something very, very great. Aham Brahmasmi, I am spirit. I am all pervading. I am universal consciousness. I am everything, and everything is in me. And such persons, when they have direct experience of this state of consciousness, it's certainly a great relief from just trying to ward off the pleasures and pains of this dying body. Because the spirit soul is so unlimitedly glorious, full of knowledge and bliss, that even understanding a partial glimmer of the nature of the soul is something so wonderful. And they want to somehow or other convince everyone, Aham Brahmasmi, you are spirit, you are God, you are unlimited, you are beyond all the variegated, miserable limitations of a body or a personality. You are universal consciousness itself. You are pure existence. Follow me and I will show you the way into the light of truth. And so many people, when they hear this philosophy and when they see people who are universal consciousness, they become so impressed. They say, yes, this is the goal, the ultimate purpose of my life. But the Srimad Bhagavatam considers the teachers and the followers to simply be instruments of the false ego. That's all. Devotees are not impressed by this. They are quite disgusted by this because they see that the basic root cause of all material suffering is still within their hearts. They may appear very liberated, just like when the weed is cut right down to the ground. It appears there's no weed at all. It appears that the weed has merged into the nothingness of Brahman. There's nothing existing because we cannot see it. We cannot feel it. We cannot touch it. But deep down in the ground, underneath our own apparent capacity to see, is the weed, stronger and more ferocious than ever. So similarly, in this impersonal realization, the root cause of the weed of suffering, false ego, still exists. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam explains, even after entering into the spiritual sky of the Brahma Jyoti, because that weed of false ego is still there, it has not been uprooted. It is in a dormant state, perhaps, that desire to enjoy will again come. And one must fall from the spiritual sky back again into this material existence. And generally, when we fall back into this material existence, then, Prabhupada explains here, we take on another type of false ego, influenced by the mode of passion. What is that mode of passion? That we want to do good for others. We want to do altruistic activities. Open nice schools to educate the ignorant. And open nice, beautiful hospitals to heal the sick, to make their material bodies so nice that they can enjoy material life again. Or to give in charity. So many ways to try to do good to others. Here, Srila Prabhupada explains that these philanthropic activities are in the mode of passion. False ego in the mode of passion. Because we're trying to do good to people's material bodies. We're still under the misconception of the body. But we're not trying to simply enjoy our bodies, we're trying to use our bodies to do good for other people's bodies. But how long can we last in this condition? Unless we utilize whatever we have according to the truth of our real constitutional position, that we are the eternal servants of the Lord, we simply become implicated and complicated even when trying to do good to others. When the impersonalist class of people open up their hospitals or start their schools or do their charity, they are thinking that I am God. I am not only the enjoyer, but I am the supplier. I am the protector. I am the maintainer. I am the shelter of other living entities. And this is a type of sense gratification for the false ego. It is very, very deep. It's much more enjoyable, actually, than just eating some food or rubbing something against your flesh. This is actually a tremendous sense gratification to think that by my power, by my variegated energies, I am giving shelter, relief, liberation, and joy to other suffering souls. I am the energetic source, and here are my energies. I have so much money to give you medicine to save your life. I have so much people around me who are willing to do anything for me to help you, to cook for you, and to heal you, and to administer medications to you, and to give you clothing when you are cold, and to give you a house when you are homeless. These are all my energies, all being utilized to give refuge to the suffering souls. This is a great sense gratification to the false ego. I am God. Not only am I the enjoyer, but I am the supplier. So this is called the false ego in the mode of passion. And then there is the false ego in mode of ignorance. That's what most people are like. They simply think they're this gross material body, and they are this mind, and they just want to enjoy. They just want gross physical sense gratification. Let me rub some tasteful substance on my tongue and enjoy. Let me scrape a piece of flesh against my flesh and enjoy. Let me somehow or other just open my ears for so many sound vibrations to come in and stimulate my eardrums and activate various nerves in my brain so I can be the lord and the enjoyer of sound. And let me take these two holes in my nose and let me somehow or other first blow all the mucus substances out and then suck in some fragrance and let it go into my nose and through my nose stimulate the different nerve endings there and enjoy. In this way, we want to use our senses, each and every one of our senses, for maximum material pleasure. And the whole world is just mad around this principle. Everywhere we go, people are just somehow or other trying to conquer our senses by tempting us with various forms of enjoyment. Smell this. Taste this, touch this, see this. We have these little eyes that are just watery little creatures that are somehow or other planted in our heads. And any little mosquito that flies into our eye causes us so much misery and pain. The eye is such a delicate little instrument. Something just, one little thing just touches it and it just cuts open. It's finished. It's amazing anyone just remains able to see throughout their life. How many little things can just fly in your eye and just tear it to pieces? It's such a tender piece of watery flesh. Hare Krishna. But yet, if somehow or other, through the ability of the eye, we see something, and it just happens to match our egoistic ideas of what's beautiful. When a frog sees a frog through their eyes, because of their ego that I'm a frog, they think, oh, such a beautiful froggy. And when a horse, through that little watery creature called the eye, when somehow or other it sees, when the horse sees a frog, he just looks at it like, get out of my way, froggy. But when it sees something that somehow or other matches his own ego, and that stimulation through the optic nerves and the retina and the iris and all of those things all combine together and create a certain little image, and it goes into your brain, and then the brain identifies it with it, or the false ego makes some connection through those little nerve stimulations of the brain. Just stimulations of the brain, then the horse becomes completely mad with lust, thinking, here is my long-awaited horsey. And this is the whole principle of material existence on the mode of ignorance. Just thinking, I am this body, I am the enjoyer, and a slab of flesh that Prabhupada says is a dead corpse flapping for a few moments only is actually the all in all. Let me keep it fit. Let me run and jump and do so many exercises. In the Western world, they spend thousands and millions of dollars on different machines just to make your body better enjoyer. Two ways to enjoy. One is that you have the capacity to enjoy more and more and more. And the other thing is you look so nice that you attract so many other objects to enjoy. People want to be beautiful because they want to attract a wider spectrum by which I can enjoy. That's all. So this is the mode of ignorance, false ego. And in this way, all material bondage and illusion are based on the false ego. And those who understand the Vaishnava philosophy, they know how to actually transcend the cause of suffering and death altogether. Because they know that whether the false ego is in the mode of ignorance, of gross, selfish, physical enjoyment, whether the false ego is in the mode of goodness, trying to be so good and so kind and so benevolent to give shelter and physical, mental happiness to others, or whether the false ego is in the mode of goodness, where it wants to actually just give up all these things and just merge into the universal existence of the supreme cosmic existence. It is all false ego. The only truth that we perceive is to serve, to be the servant of the servant of the servant. That is reality. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us, Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nitya Das. We are all meant to serve Krishna. With our body, our mind, our words, our very life, we try to serve Krishna. Nadanam najanam na sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye. Mama Janamani Janamani Shwari Bhavata Bhaktir Ahoyita Ketvai. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu prayed, I am not interested in false ego in either goodness, passion, or ignorance. I do not want wealth which supplies so much enjoyment in this world of ignorance. I do not want fame and distinction of being, which gives us so much enjoyment in the mode of passion. I do not want followers who think I am their savior. I do not even want liberation from all these things. I only want to serve you, my Lord, birth after birth after birth. Therefore, even if a devotee is struggling and even suffering with the mind because of various conditionings, or suffering with the body because of the nature of the body, if that devotee is just struggling to serve, that person is millions of times more glorious than even a liberated soul in the impersonal conceptions of the Lord. Why? because he's actually identified the root of all suffering, and he's actually trying to uproot it. And the fact is, we cannot uproot this weed of false ego. Because it's everywhere within our consciousness. Only by the mercy of Krishna. Krishna has that power. Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. If we want to be relieved of all sufferings, we must simply surrender to Krishna. And how is it that we surrender to Krishna? With the understanding that we are his eternal servants. And just try to serve. Just be satisfied with service. Make a sacrifice of your life for Krishna's pleasure. Service and humility counteract the effects of false ego. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Trinarapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishnana, Amanina Manadena Kirataniya Sadahari. This verse is the very essence of the understanding of how to give up the false ego. To be more humble than the blade of grass. To be willing to tolerate all difficulties like a tree in our service to the Lord. To offer all respects to others and to expect none in return. This verse literally terrorizes our false ego. It's everything that the false ego is against. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, with the grace of Krishna, we can come to this stage where there is no more false ego, where the false ego transforms into the real ego, the actual eternal nature of ourselves. That comes through the purification of the nine processes of devotional service. By hearing the glories of the Lord in the association of devotees, by chanting the holy names of the Lord, gradually this false ego is cleansed. But as Gauranga Mahaprabhu explains, we have to be very careful. Because even this watering process can increase our false egos. Water is very good for the plant of devotion, but it also can nourish the weeds. Therefore, humble service is always required as we are hearing and chanting. Because it keeps us always on guard while the process of devotional service uproots the weed of material ego. This is very important. Oftentimes, devotees become very, very successful in their spiritual abilities. And the result is they start thinking that they're very great souls. And they cannot tolerate it when someone does not recognize their greatness. If you go to Nasik, and everyone is standing with folded hands and bowing down to your lotus feet, thinking, oh, you are so merciful. You are the representative of God Himself. think the tendency is to think, yes, actually, this is correct. But then when you go to Chopati, say, well, you're back, so what? Wash the toilet. Ma, what is this? How is this possible? Why they can't see what others see? Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vinokai. These brahmacharis, their eyes are not anointed with the salve of love for me. So it is sometimes very dangerous when we hear and we chant very attentively and we're very strict and we learn the scripture so nicely and we become empowered to help others in Krishna consciousness. The seed of devotion is growing, but at the same time the weeds of false ego are also becoming very strong. So we must be very careful to identify the real cause of all our problems, and that is we want to be the enjoyer. And the real cause and the means by which we can overcome this problem is to be humble and to want to serve and to want to give enjoyment to others. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu basically taught three principles: the chanting of the holy name to cleanse our hearts, the service to the Vaishnavas to maintain always a humble position, and showing compassion to the suffering souls, which is the greatest service to the Lord. And if we always keep these three principles first and foremost in our life, then by the grace of Sri Guru and Gauranga, this great transformation of the Mahatattva into the false ego can be overcome. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any other questions? Paramhamsa Prabhu, any questions?
This question is generally asked about the, he said that a person is liberated and goes into the spiritual sky. So whether if the false ego is purified completely, only then can a person enter the spiritual sky. So how is it that a person goes, I mean qualifies himself to go to the spiritual sky without the material false ego being finished? Or is he liberated within but he doesn't go to the spiritual sky?
Prabhupada explains here those who are in the mode of goodness think that each and every person is God, and thus they laugh at the pure devotees who try to engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So actually when we enter into the spiritual sky, there is no more the modes of material nature. The false ego is not actually there in that perfectly, within this material world, it is still false ego when we are under the conception that we are God. When you enter into the spiritual sky, you don't think you're God. You don't think anything. You see, when you're in this world and you think, I am God, I am universal consciousness, that is false ego. But if somehow or other you become so completely detached that you can actually attain that state of entering into the Brahma-jyoti, in that condition, there's no material modes of nature. You don't think you're God. You don't think. You simply exist. However, because you have not awakened your real ego as the eternal servant of the Lord, it's just a matter of time until that false ego awakens within your heart. And then you have to again fall down into this material world. Does that answer your question? We can say it's in a dormant condition. But why is it from the spiritual sky, if we're not tasting the sweetness of bhakti ras, do we come back to this material world? Why? That propensity for enjoyment is the inherent nature of our soul. We have to enjoy. Either we enjoy being enjoyed by Krishna, or we enjoy trying to be like Krishna. Those are the two types of enjoyment. So it's in a completely inactive state when we actually have that propensity to enjoy, but we do not have the relationship with Krishna realized, then we enter into the Mahatattva by the grace of the Lord. And when we enter into the Mahatattva, then immediately the actual influence of the false ego rules over our consciousness. So the soul has that propensity, but it is not actually manifested until it comes under the influence of false ego in the motive, within the Mahatattva of material existence. But the Lord casts us into that situation if we do not have pure unalloyed devotion. It's just a matter of time. Yes?
In an analytical sense, more subtle than the body is the mind, and more subtle than the mind is the intelligence, and then the false ego. So a person who is entering the spiritual sky, as you were discussing, if he is entering the Brahma-jyoti, his gross body is left, and his subtle body is also...
Ego is also left, but that propensity awakens at a certain point, and that propensity brings him again back into the material existence.
One more point is, all creation, material and spiritual, is either under material
and... It's like... Even if you cure yourself of a disease, if you're not very strong and fit, you are utterly subject to being recontaminated again. Similarly, when the impersonalists free themselves of the three modes of material nature, they enter into the spiritual sky, which is very, very rare. then the three modes of material nature are not there. It's basically an unconscious state. But because they do not have that higher taste of Krishna consciousness, the nature of the soul, which is Satchit Ananda, is sooner or later, it has to look for Ananda again. It has to. It is inevitable. And if it's not experiencing the Ananda of transcendental spiritual ras, then it has to find some place where there's Ananda. And then it enters again into the Mahatattva. And in the Mahatattva, it again becomes recontaminated by the false ego under the three modes of material nature. And in that stage, it is ruled over by these three divisions of false ego that was explained here.
Those under the purview of the material energy are under the influence of the three modes, and those under internal energy, they engage in the service of the Lord. So the Brahma Jyoti, is it under external energy or internal energy or none?
It is more or less the marginal energy. It is spiritual energy. However, it is in that marginal condition, in that the Brahma Jyoti itself is spiritual light. But the consciousness of a person within that is in the tatastha energy, the marginal energy. Any other questions? For a devotee in the consciousness of bhakti, when he sees the Brahma Jyoti, he sees Krishna. He sees Krishna's light. And it simply awakens his love for Krishna. But for a person who has not developed the original devotion of the heart, he just sees that light in and of itself with no source, and therefore there is no love. Our propensity is to love. We cannot love in Brahma Jyoti. Therefore, it is considered marginal energy of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada ki Hare Krishna.